You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Bet Slippin' Podcast Daily NBA Show. We're presented by SportsbookWire.com. I'm the host of this shindig, Jeff Clark. Please check out sportsbookwire.com, where my colleagues and I break down every game for all major sporting events daily. And get used to hearing my voice talk some hoops, friends. We're hoping to get this daily NBA podcast into your feed Mondays through Fridays. We got a very basic format here in the daily NBA pod. I'm going to run through the odds of the games of each day on the NBA slate. We'll banter about some basketball, try to extrapolate some value in the sides, total, or props, betting markets for each game. And all of our odds are provided by our friends at Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico Sportsbook is a global sports betting leader and is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy Sportsbook mobile app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions do apply, and you must be 21 or older to play. So see the website for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. You can get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Okay, guys, let's talk some hoops. It's Thursday, November 11th. We have a three-game slate here in the NBA. The first game is the Toronto Raptors visiting the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip-off at the Wells Fargo Center is 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Toronto comes in with a 6-6 record, 5-7 against the spread, 5-7 to the over-under. Philly is 8-4, 7-5 against the spread, 4-7-1 to the over-under. Toronto lost Wednesday night, last night actually, 104-88 at the Boston Celtics and failed to cover as three-point underdogs. Philly played Milwaukee pretty tough for three quarters, but lost on Tuesday 109-118 as seven-point underdogs. They were missing a whole bunch of players and are still missing a whole bunch of players tonight. Seth Curry and Tobias Harris, game statuses are both questionable. Joel Embiid will be sidelined due to the health and safety protocols. Same thing with small forward Thybulle. And Ben Simmons is obviously out because of his personal issues. Pascal Siakam is going to be missing tonight's game for Toronto since they played last night against Boston. He's just getting a rest day. He's rehabbing or coming back from an injury, so they're worried about his wear and tear. The odds for this game, according to Tipico Sportsbook, is the Raptors are +2.5, but the juice is down to -105. Money line's +122. The 76ers money line is -150. The total is 210.5. This is according to Tipico Sportsbook. Once again, I'm on Toronto here. I would sprinkle on the money line and probably put a full unit on the points. Generally, if I take the underdog, I'm taking the points. And quite often I'll end up sprinkling on the money line, depending on obviously how big the money line is versus the spread. You know, if I'm only getting a point and a half, and I really like the underdog, I'm not going to take the point and a half. I'll just take the even money line. But again, Philly is going to be perhaps without four starters, not sure on Seth Curry or Tobias Harris at this point. And I think the casual bettor is actually starting to realize that Doc Rivers gets effort and production from the backups, hence Sixers being favored despite having a bunch of players possibly miss this game. Also, I think there is a little bit of value in backing Toronto after their embarrassing performance against Boston, getting boat raced by a Boston team that struggled out the gate so far. And I think most people are aware of Boston's mediocrity, for lack of a better way of putting it. Also, be on the lookout, or not be on the lookout, but let's pay attention to no Joel Embiid and how that affects Philly. It's going to be huge, or his absence is going to be huge in this spot. Two massive edges that Philly has is going to be reduced with no Embiid in the lineup. Their rebounding and Philly's ability to get to the foul line. Embiid grades in the 94th percentile of bigs and on-off offensive free throw rate, and 90 in the 91st percentile of bigs and on-off defensive rebounding rate. This is according to cleaningtheglass.com, which removes garbage time from all their stat tracking. What that tells us essentially is that the Philadelphia 76ers can get to the foul line at a crazy high rate. When Embiid's on the floor, he's a big reason why. And he's also obviously a big reason why, as their center, that their defensive rebounding rate significantly improves when he's on the floor. The rebounding issue could be a real big one for me, could be really major for Philly. Toronto, they crash the glass at a crazy rate. They're actually first in offensive rebounding rate, and they have the fifth most second chance points per game. Philly is actually 23rd in second chance points per game allowed, and this is with Embiid playing most of the game. So we got a strength on weakness matchup favoring Toronto. Toronto's also low-key road warriors, at least so far this season. They're 4-1 straight up and against the spread on the road. They have a plus 4.1 points per 100 possession differential, according to cleaningtheglass.com, and they have a plus 12.1 ATS margin on the road, which is tops in the NBA. I'm going to sprinkle on Toronto's money line, but if you're following me here, go with Toronto plus the points instead. On to the next game, which is the Indiana Pacers visiting the Utah Jazz. The Indiana Pacers are 4-8 after losing Wednesday night to a depleted Denver Nuggets team. They were 3.5-point road favorites. The Nuggets were missing Nikola Jokic, still missing Jamal Murray, and the Pacers put up a stinker, fell to 4-8. They're 6-6 against the spread and 4-8 to the over-under. Utah, on the other hand, looks as quality of a regular season team as they did last year. This season, they're 8-3 straight up, 7-4 against the spread, 3-8 to the over-under, and they won their last game actually pretty handily against the Atlanta Hawks, covering as 9-point favorites. They lost their previous two games in Florida, both to Miami and the Orlando Magic. But Utah's looking great so far to start out this year. Their net rating is the second best in the league behind the Golden State Warriors. Their shooting is down a little bit from year over year, but they're still sixth in effective field goal percentage. So Utah looks like another strong regular season team, and they play really well against the West or East Coast teams. Traditionally, they've covered 63.3% of their games versus Eastern Conference teams since the beginning of 2019. That's the highest rate in the NBA. Indiana gives up a lot of easy buckets. They're in the bottom third of the NBA in points off of turnovers, second chance points, and they're below average in fast break points and paint points allowed per game. It's a lean to the Jazz, my play here, laying just a huge number. It's 10.5. They opened as 9-point favorites. The vast majority, most of the market's betting the over or betting the Jazz in this spot. Nearly 3/4 of the market is betting the under in this spot, which makes sense. I mean, unders league wide are cashing at a 60%+ rate through the first few weeks of the NBA season, and both of these teams are mirroring those rates. With again, the Pacers 4-8 to the over under and the Utah Jazz 3-8 to the over-under. So I don't disagree with the markets on either play, but the odds makers are reacting to the market moves. So the Pacers Jazz total opened at 219, and again, it's down to 215.5. So we're getting late to the party, and for that reason, it's no play on the total. I'm not crazy about laying the 10.5 with the Jazz, even though I do believe they can gain some margin at the foul line. They're first in offensive free throw rate. eighth in defensive free throw rate, whereas Indiana is 27th in offensive free throw rate and 26th in defensive free throw rate. So Indiana sends their opponents to the line a lot, and they don't get to the line a lot themselves, whereas the opposite is true with Utah. In fact, they get to the line more than any other team, and a big reason would be Donovan Mitchell attacking the basket the rate that he does, and teams forcing to settle to foul Rudy Gobert when he gets the ball close to the basket, hoping that he doesn't convert both free throw attempts. So that usually gets the Jazz into the bonus pretty quick, and that's the reason why I do lean to them to cover and win this game by, what is it again, 10 and a half, excuse me. So the one play that I do have on here is a player prop. I'm not crazy about player props usually, although towards the midseason, at the end of the season, I start to get dialed in on them. But I'm looking at the under for Jordan Clarkson's made three-pointers, which is set at 2.5 at Tipico, and the juice is minus 130. Whenever you see more juice on a side, you can figure that either the public or the market is on that side, and the books want to offset their liability, and or maybe the books just really like that particular side, and they want to make it more expensive to persuade bettors to go the other way. So, you know, I see Jordan Clarkson's under 2.5 made three-pointers juiced to minus 130, and that gives me actually more confidence in this play. He's off to a really rough start. He's only hitting 24% of his three-pointers so far this season, which is down more than 100 percentage points from last year when he won Sixth Man of the Year. He's made fewer than three three-pointers in six of his 11 games this year, and he only did it once in the two meetings with the Pacers last year. The Pacers actually hold their opponents the fourth fewest three-point attempts per game, so maybe this is a lower than average volume game for Jordan Clarkson. Maybe TJ McConnell, backup Pacers guard, is able to play some defense on Clarkson and understand that if they don't reduce Utah's depth and bench edge, that they're going to get rolled again here. But I do like under Jordan Clarkson 2.5 threes. Again, lean towards the Jazz covering the 10.5. Don't have a huge play on the total, because actually Indiana has a better effective field goal percentage from Utah than Utah. So I can see this total eclipse in the 215.5 price tag. But on to the third game here, which is the Miami Heat playing their second straight game at the Staples Center. Tonight they're playing the Los Angeles Clippers. They lost in overtime to the Los Angeles Lakers last night on Wednesday, 120-117. They were 5.5-point closing road favorites, which is kind of crazy. I know the market soured on the Lakers, but geez. The Miami Heat moved to 7-4 straight up, 7-4. Well, fell to 7-4 straight up, 7-4 against the spread, and 6-5 to the over-under after last night's performance. The Clippers are 6-4 straight up, 6-4 against the spread, and 4-6 to the over-under. Tip-off for this game is 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. The Clippers are actually winners of five straight. They've covered the last four, and I think that Miami's due for some regression to the mean, and the Clippers are actually due for progression up to the mean. Based on shotquality.com charting, the Clippers have the fourth best adjusted shot quality differential, whereas Miami has the 20th best adjusted shot quality differential. Bottom line is Miami takes and makes difficult shots and doesn't do as good of a job as the Clippers in contesting or forcing their opponents to hit tough shots. Paul George should be the best player on the court tonight. It is a toss-up between him and Jimmy Butler, both having MVP caliber seasons to this point. However, Jimmy Butler did leave last night's game against the Lakers early after rolling his ankle and is iffy to play tonight. He didn't return to the game last night, and we saw the Miami end up losing that game in overtime to a team that Lakers team that was an underdog at home. The Los Angeles Clippers won and covered both meetings last year, and both were without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So I do think those results are sticky, and meaningful to this year's handicap or tonight's handicap with the Clippers Heat. I actually think Clippers are a deeper team, especially at guard, even though Miami added Kyle Lowry this offseason. He's helped improve their production efficiency on both ends of the court. But Clippers actually have a better bench plus minus than the Miami Heat, who are averaging the most points off the bench, mostly because of Tyler Hero. But Clippers can match Tyler Hero and the Miami Heat bench scoring with Luke Kennard's outside shooting. And I do think they have an above-average defensive backcourt. Also, Miami allows the third most three-point attempts per game, and the Clippers have the ninth best three-point percentage in the league, which is actually down year over year. So get this: the Los Angeles Clippers had the highest three-point percentage ever last season for any team in NBA history. The Clippers last year had the best three-point percentage, and Miami's defense likes to pack the paint and force opponents to shoot three-pointers. As I said, they have the 20th ranked shot quality differential, so it's not even like they're contesting three-pointers at a high rate. They've actually struggled to shoot behind the arc over the last three games. They haven't shot better than 27% any of those games. And actually, Lakers, who are a pretty good three-point shooting team, connected on 47% of the three-pointers last night. So I like the Clippers. Tipico Sportsbook has the Clippers favored -4.5. The money line's -180, +145 of the Heat, and the over-under is 211.5. There's both the public and the sharps are riding on the Clippers here. The Clippers opened as a 2.5-point favorite, and they're all the way up to 4.5 on Tipico Sportsbook. So just a recap here, and every podcast, every Bet Slippin' podcast, we like to finish the show with our best bets in a segment we call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
It's just me locking my best bets. Do a quick recap. I'm on the Toronto Raptors +2.5. Might sprinkle on the money line. Just take the 2.5 now. And always wait until the final injury report before making a bet. Last night I bet the Pacers a little bit early over the Denver Nuggets and found out I bet before the final injury reports released, and then found out that Caris LeVert wasn't going to play. Huge loss for the Pacers, and they ended up losing the game outright to the Nuggets. Should have just waited until tip-off. So wait until tip-off before getting the Toronto Raptors, but right now they're getting 2.5 points. Could go up depending on Seth Curry and Tobias Harris's game statuses. Also, I'm taking the under in Jordan Clarkson's three-point made prop, which is 2.5. The juice is -130. So under 2.5 three-pointers made for Jordan Clarkson. And then the third game on the slate will be the Clippers. And I'm taking the Clippers -4.5 against the Heat. That's your card for November 11th, the NBA slate. Good luck to all your bets, and be sure to check us out wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and check out our website, sportsbookwire.com, for the handicaps of all your favorite major sporting events. Also, all of our listeners in Colorado and New Jersey, be sure to do your gaming at Tipico Sportsbook. Good luck tonight, guys.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.